Disco Duck, Rick Dees, 1976. Here's one you really have to hear to believe. Disco Duck by Rick Dees. The song came out in 1976, right at the height of the disco craze, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Rick Dees, a DJ by trade, decided to release a novelty song about a duck that dances to disco music. Now, while disco was dominating the charts with acts like the Bee Gees and Donna Summer, Disco Duck was a whole different beast. Yes, it was fun, it was silly, but it was also so out there that it had people scratching their heads hard. Dees wasn't trying to make a profound statement, he just wanted to make something that was funny and fun. And honestly, yes, it worked. But get this, and I do think this is my favorite tidbit about any of these earworms. Dees said it took a grand total of one day to write the song. Yeah, that tracks. But convincing anyone, literally anyone to perform it, it took 3 months. Now, if that isn't an omen of this song's legacy, I don't know what is. But after this weird start, the song went to number one, despite being completely ridiculous. The sound was pure disco, with funky bass lines and that signature upbeat groove. But instead of Travolta sexy dance moves or love lyrics, you had a duck quacking and waddling around to the beat. It's funny, and that's why it became a massive hit, I guess. It didn't take itself seriously at all, and in a way that made it a hit. People were in the middle of a dance craze, and they were looking for something to keep the party going. And in the face of other deeper pieces of art, from films to TV and other songs, the prospect of just shutting our brains off and embracing our inner silly, it just sounded really good at the time. Now it's with a bit more reservation that I say this, if at all. The honeymoon phase is over for the Disco Duck, hard to believe, I know. But looking back, it is one of those tracks that definitely feels like a time capsule. Disco Duck is pure 1976, embodying the weird and wild nature of the disco era. It's like you're hearing the sound of a decade that was more about fun than making sense. Now, it's a total novelty, but back then, it was a chart-topping hit that had you dancing and quacking along. The Night Chicago Died, Paper Lace, 1974. I heard my mom cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Released in 74, this song by Paper Lace tells the story of a violent showdown between the police and gangsters in Chicago. It's one of those songs that doesn't hold back. There's shootouts, chaos, and a lot of emotion wrapped up in the lyrics. Honestly, it's kind of like a mini movie in musical form. But here's the thing. There is no real historical event behind it. It's all fictional, which makes the whole thing even more, well, not a waste of time, but definitely more empty. But despite the heavy-handed storytelling and the fictional nature of it all, the song became a major hit. The combination of the dramatic narrative and the upbeat pop melody, it made it strangely addictive. You couldn't help but sing along to that chorus. It's got that 70s pop rock feel with a little bit of drama thrown in. And yeah, that's why people loved it. It was nice to have something to latch onto that was pure escapism. The song gave people a little adventure, even if it was all made up. But that's also a double-edged sword, cause we were going through tough times. So why have a song that puts us through the ringer that's made up? And it kissed my mama's face, and it brushed her tears away. It was a formula that could easily overstay its welcome, and it definitely did sometimes. It's funny though, when you look back on it. The way the story unfolds, it's like you're watching a big, action-packed drama unfold on the radio. It's almost comical now, thinking about how seriously the song takes itself. But that's what made it stick, I guess. It's pure 70s kitsch, and honestly, it's hard to not love it for that reason. While this track was hit or miss on the escapism, that trend definitely drove a lot of other songs to the top. Whether they deserved it or not. Hey, like this next one. Escape, the Piña Colada song, Rupert Holmes, 1979. Yes, I like Piña Colada. By the time Escape came around in 1979, people were all about escapism. This was the tail end of the 70s, and honestly, the world felt like it needed a break from all the chaos. And what better way to escape than by writing a song about a secret romance set up through a personal ad? Rupert Holmes's hit song became a massive anthem of that era. It's all about a guy and a woman who respond to each other's personal ads, only to find out they've been cheating on their partners with each other. Yeah, yikes. The song's soft pop sound is laid back and breezy, fitting perfectly with the overall vibe of the late 70s. It's got that almost loungy feel, like something you'd hear playing at a beach bar or a backyard barbecue with a cold drink in your hand. And the lyrics, well, they're pretty funny in that 70s kind of way. They're quirky, a little cheeky, but not too serious. The whole premise of the song, with the twist ending, was exactly what people wanted in 1979. It's like a little escape from the grind of daily life. And let's not forget that iconic mention of piña coladas, it instantly became a symbol of carefree fun. Looking back, it's hard not to laugh at how this song became such a big hit. But it's also easy to see why it resonated with people. It's catchy, it's lighthearted, and it lets you daydream about an idolized carefree life with a piña colada in hand. That's exactly what the late 70s were all about, escaping the stress and tension of the real world by focusing on the good times. And escape was like a vacation in a song, and you couldn't help but sing along when it came on the radio. I Just Wanna Be Your Everything, Andy Gibb, 1977. I just wanna be your everything. This song hit number one in 1977, and at the time, people ate it up. But now, when you listen to I Just Wanna Be Your Everything, it's hard not to cringe a bit. Yeah, it's smooth, it's disco, and Andy's got that sweet falsetto that is quintessential BG sound. But there's just something about it that feels overly sappy and way too sentimental for its own good. It's like one of those love songs you'd hear playing on a loop at a wedding reception where you can't help but roll your eyes at its oversaturated presence everywhere. Kind of keeps it from being a standout moment, I think. Which, yeah, it makes it way worse that it was everywhere. From radio stations to elevators, it was a song that was played on repeat. If I stay here without you, darling, I would die. Often during moments when you least wanted to hear it. It was kind of like the soundtrack to a bad 70s soap opera, and you could almost feel the drama building every time that chorus hit. And the whole, I just wanna be your everything thing, it's a bit over the top, and it's cheesy even for the times. In hindsight, I Just Wanna Be Your Everything is one of those tunes that you just can't help but shake your head at. It's just so emblematic of the kind of overblown, overly romantic, and completely extra pop hits of the late 70s. Hey, we're all for a good love song, but this one, it just feels a bit much. If you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. Convoy, C.W. McCall, 1975. Convoy was a huge hit in 1975, and if you were around back then, you know this song was on everywhere. And okay, I get it. It's catchy and it's got that fun, rebellious spirit about it, but now it just seems a bit silly. The whole thing was a novelty about a convoy of truckers sticking it to the man, in this case, the police. And while it might have been a fun anthem for long-haul truckers at the time, it just didn't have the staying power or depth to justify its massive popularity.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all.
The entire song feels like it was written for a CB radio convention, and honestly, it has not aged too well. But what makes Convoy stick out as one of the worst number one hits is its novelty factor. It's one of those songs that's impossible to take seriously now, but at the time, people were blasting it on the radio as if it was the anthem of the decade. The lyrics are more like a conversation with a trucker than a traditional song. So it's not even exactly something you can bop along to on karaoke night. At least, not when you want to dance on tables and sway on bar stools. Plus, that chanty, almost march-like rhythm, it gets old really fast. Not to mention the fact that Convoy went to number one, so it means we were all collectively on the same page. About a song about truckers breaking the law, not exactly timeless. When you look back at the song's success, it's hard not to laugh. But in the end, Convoy was less about the music and more about the weird cultural moment it was in. The Streak, Ray Stevens, 1974. Well, yes, they're calling the streak. Let's be real, The Streak is pure 70s cheese at its finest. Ray Stevens somehow managed to make a number one hit out of a song about, well, streaking, running around in your birthday suit. Because, well, in 1974, the streaking craze was a thing for some reason. And Stevens jumped on that bandwagon and made a song out of it. He's just as proud as he can be of his anatomy. He gon' give us a pee. At the time, people thought it was hilarious, but looking back, it's kind of a cringy moment in pop culture history. The whole The Streak thing had novelty hit written all over it. And it's one of those songs that when you listen to it now, you can't help but thinking, I mean, what were we thinking? Well, Stevens was thinking about a newspaper article he happened to read about, well, you guessed it, streaking. His reaction to this blurb, well, that was, to quote Stevens here, a great idea for a song. Yeah, sure, that's exactly my first thought too. The lyrics are so silly they border on ridiculous, but somehow it became a chart-topping hit. The song's upbeat, almost vaudevillian-like delivery, combined with the weird topic, it makes it hard to take seriously, but back in the day, it was one of those tracks that you'd hear blasting on the radio and everyone would laugh. But secretly, maybe some of you were thinking, am I the only one who's a little embarrassed by this? Sure, it was funny for a few moments, but the fact that it lasted for weeks at number one, it's just baffling. Now, The Streak sits in pop culture history as one of those oddities that felt like a joke the whole time. And yeah, it might make some of you still chuckle even today, but the fact that this was at the top of the charts, it's just hard to explain. It's like the guilty pleasure that no one wants to admit to liking, except, you know, everyone liked it, well, back then.
Ethel's in there getting her a cold drink. I hollered in there, I said, don't look at me.
And there you have it, 14 quite horrible number one songs from the 1970s. Some were cheesy, some were weird, and some were downright inexplicable. But you know what? Even the worst songs from that era hold a special place in our memories, right? Love 'em or hate 'em, they were part of the soundtrack of our lives. So, which of these was your least favorite? Which could you not stand? Did we miss one that was even more annoying? And which song from our list did not deserve to be there? Get down in the comment section and blast me! It's okay, that's what I'm here for.